Welcome back to the Friends of Picassi podcast, or again, another vlogcast. We're going to try our second one of these because we like doing the first one. I think it's just useful to keep doing something different on the podcast, isn't it? And the first one seemed to go down quite well. So yeah, let's do another video. So I'm back with Chris. We've got a couple more stories to go through, including some in Botswana. And of course, you were mentioning before, actually, when we were recording one of our last episodes, I think it was in when I was in Leicester, actually, I said, what things have you, you know, changed while you were head teacher? And we went through all of it. I think this was episode 3. And then you mentioned something off mic when we finished about a big water project. So I thought that's an episode in itself. So we definitely need to put out there. So I thought, let's do that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's try something different today, because so far you've interviewed me 3 times and I've not got anywhere near you.
Yeah, okay.
So let's turn the tables a bit, shall we, today?
All right, yeah, sure. Okay, if that's what you want to do, we can do that. Yeah, definitely. Okay, we'll save those other 2 stories because I do want to come back to them. So we'll put them out in the next ones, I guess. Go on then. Yeah, let's do that.
Okay. So essentially we met because of our shared love of the mighty iron, although they're not quite so mighty.
Not so mighty, yeah.
So I'd like to start, if I could, away from that really, and start with your studies and your career, what you've been doing yourself. So where did you go to school? Where did you go to uni? What did you do? That kind of thing.
Yeah, okay. So school-wise, I mean, obviously, we're talking about Friends of Picatti, going right back to the sort of primary. My primary was Crawl Primary, which is the village where I live. My secondary was North Axum, which is, I think it's a different name now. I think it's Axum Academy. I think most of them are these days, aren't they, academies?
Yeah.
So that was sort of where, like, I started with school-wise. In terms of, I don't know, like, my interests and where I sort of developed into the sort of paths I'm sort of going down. That was more sort of at college, really. And that was at John Leggett. So I went to John Leggett there and I did English, English literature, drama and theatre, history and law. And I did all 4 of them across both years. I didn't drop one. I carried on all 4. And I really enjoyed them. Those were the A levels. Yeah. Right. So at the school during GCSEs, like I knew English was probably the route I wanted to go down. So I did really well in English. I got A's and everything like that. So I knew I was going to do that. Aside from the school, I'd always had interest in like drama and things like that. And I was in a local drama group in the village. And I carried on with that drama group for a couple of years. I did about 5 years with them, maybe a bit more actually. And on and off, actually, I came back like in 2018, 2019. They did some summer shows as well, some Shakespeare, which I came back and did, which I enjoyed doing them, actually. So I'd had that as an interest, but it had never been a subject at school. Like, it had never been at our school. We never had drama. We never had theatre. We never had anything like that, which I think is a massive shame, really, because, I mean, I could talk for hours about the state of, you know, arts funding and everything in the country, but to not have it as an option at all, I think, is incredibly poor. I mean, we did have music at school, and that was quite good. But there was no sort of performance or anything like that. So when I went to college at John Leggett and I was looking around on the open days, I looked at drama theatre and I looked at performing arts. Those were the 2 options. I knew I was going to do one of them. And drama theatre just seemed a bit more like my style, just in terms, because there was a little bit more sort of texture analysis as well. So it kept that English side. You still got to do some performing, but, you know, it was that side. And history, always been an interest of mine. Law was just something I was interested in on the open days, and I ended up taking it. And then when it got to university, I went on a lot of open days, and I ended up looking around a lot of subjects, actually. I figured it was going to be one of the ones I'd studied at college. That just, you know, makes sense. I knew, as much as I do enjoy acting and I really do like it, I'm sure, we might talk about it a little bit later on. It was not a drama school for various reasons, was not something I wanted to do. So I sort of discounted that quite straight away. And then it sort of became English, history or law. And somebody who I was friends with in my law group at college, we went round universities together, and we basically said, oh, he'll sit in on the English ones with me if I sat in on the law ones with him. So I actually looked around a lot of law courses sort of incidentally, and I nearly did it, but there was just something about doing English, I think. And I looked at various universities, and quite by accident, I think it was on Facebook, I think I saw a post just saying, oh, it was an open day at Lincoln today. I mean, I'd looked around universities all over the place. I'd been with colleges, I'd been myself. I was pretty much decided that I was going to go to Hull, actually. That was pretty much set. And then I just saw this post. I wasn't at work, so I thought, yeah, I'll pop along. So I went to Lincoln English, had a look around. And within about 10 minutes of being there on that open day, I was like, yeah, no, it's this one. And I sort of applied, I got in straight away. And I did that. And so I did 3 years of English at Lincoln, and then followed it on with a master's as well, also in English. That was sort of my studies, really.
Yeah. You did mention to me once about you've been working with the youth theatre. What happened there? How did that come about?
Okay, yeah. There's something called the National Youth Theatre. It's National Youth Theatre of Great Britain. There's a lot of very famous actors have been through it. So Daniel Craig, for example, he's one. Helen Mirren, Matt Smith, you know. Timothy Dalton, the names, you know, they go on and on. You honestly Google it, it's incredible. And every year they do intakes around the country. And basically what you do is you go and you do like about a 3 or 4 hour workshop in the morning, and it's sort of various drama games, and it's sort of, they see how you sort of interact with people and how you get on with everybody. And then you do a monologue, which you've prepared previously. And so, as I say before, you know, I wasn't going to go do drama school, but I didn't want to lose it, and I wanted to do it in some sort of professional capacity as well. So, and through various, my interests, you know, those actors that I've just named there, you know, you can probably tell I'm a big James Bond fan, a big Doctor Who fan. So, you know, I'm aware of this through them, basically, you know, when I've looked at their careers. And I looked at it and I thought, oh, that's, you know, that's interesting. That'd be great. First year of uni, so 2014, I was at uni, and I nearly did it then, but I had so much work on with what I was doing. I thought, no, I'm not going to do it this year. I'm going to do it next year when I'm a bit more sort of settled in at uni and stuff. And I did in 2015. I was going to audition in Sheffield, but it was sold out. So I went up to Newcastle. I'd never been to Newcastle at that point. So literally Google Maps, you know, found the place, did this audition, went really well. I got in and we went to London for 2 weeks in the summer and studied there. It was a great time, met some brilliant people. The course was fantastic. And then afterwards, you're then a member. You can be a member between, I think it's 14 to 26, I think. That's sort of your membership. And I got in when I was 19. So I had a couple of years there, and I did various things. So I did I did ambassadoring with them. So I sort of helped out at the other intakes. There was a meet, actually, we forced, because as much as it is National Youth Theatre, I think it's very London-centric. So we sort of, myself, a couple of other Northern members, sort of forced a meeting, actually, which we were told, actually, we drafted this letter. We said, look, we like what we're doing, but we need to do better, really. We sent it to a load of patrons of the company, and these two people from head office said, yeah, okay, we're going to come up and meet you. We had a chat. It was great. And they did put into place some things. It does over the, because I've kept an eye on this over the last couple of years, it has improved. There is more Northern opportunities. My favorite thing about that is that after that meeting, we got told that Sir Ian McKellen had personally rang the head of the MYT and said, I've seen this letter. You need to make sure you do something about this, and I will be ringing and checking that you've done it. So I can say that Ian McKellen's read my writing. That's good. But yeah, that was National Youth Theatre, which was, yeah, it was great. I enjoyed that. And it was just another way of, you know, I guess being in that sort of environment and that sort of world without the sort of constraints of a 3-year course, you know, and it was good. And there's a lot of connections have come from that I carry on to this day.
Are there any of those connections to do with the drama festival that you're involved in as well?
There are people that have overlapped, not at my time, but there are people that overlap. So the drama festival, yeah, that's been a bit more recent. So that's the National Student Drama Festival. Yeah. That's so last, well, you apply and you get on, you do a year and that's it. You know, you do one festival. Fortunately or unfortunately, whichever way you look at it, I've ended up getting 3 years out of it because I applied to do the management team. So the management team is basically, they run this, there's this festival on that runs for about a week, student drama festival, as you say, and it's, groups can bring work there, there's shows there, there's workshops, there's all these people come in and, you know, put this event on basically. And it's been running sort of, I think about 65 years, I think it was 65 or 66 this year. And the management team sort of basically steward it and run it and, you know, workshop facilitate, that type of thing. So I applied, I got onto that, and that was 2020. Obviously it didn't happen. So they said, we'll roll it over to next year. Again, 2021, they couldn't do a physical festival. We did do an online festival and they said, oh, look, you got in. Do you want to still do it? It's going to be on Zoom and everything, but we do still need people to, like, you know, safeguard the workshops, do the registers, let people in, that type of thing. Do you want to do it? So I said, yeah, I'll keep doing it. It's because, you know, I was in lockdown anyway, so I wasn't really doing much. So yeah, I did that, which was great. And then this April just gone, I went to Leicester. It was an in-person festival. And we ran the festival. It was great. As another sort of thing from that festival, they did a producer's course, which I got onto, which was at the end of last year, which was sort of three top industry producers come on. They were sort of, I don't know, just explaining how the job works. Because I think people don't really know an awful lot about producing, you know. And as much as I've already said that, you know, I enjoy acting, I'm very multidisciplinary in the sense that I like all aspects of it and I like learning, you know, all sides of it, you know, the writing, directing, the producing, all of it. And it just happened that I fallen into producing a little bit the last couple of months. So I applied to that, did this course. They said, we want to keep going. They said, look, you're coming to the festival anyway with the management team. We want to put you with what they call a lab project. And the lab projects are, they've grouped people together, just all things together. This had been going on for months before I was even involved. And they had, I think it was five shows that they were coming to take to the festival. And they were all at different stages. Some were fairly complete. Some were just table reads. You know, it's just projects that people have been put together sort of out of the pandemic in a way, because everything was online. Yeah. They've been put together and basically to see what can they create. I got linked to this group because of, well, as you know from the podcasts and everything, I know a bit about audio and a bit about editing and things like that. So I said, that's sort of where my skill lies in producing. This group needed a tech producer because they said it was quite an ambitious project. And we linked up and we hit it off straight away. So I've ended up producing this play and it was incredibly ambitious. It was partly live in Leicester where we did the festival and live at the same time in India. So there's the equivalent of the drama festival in India. They linked up and we had a couple of members over there. So we did this sort of cross-continental play, which went very, very well. I was sat in that room though, doing the tech, just being like, I need that Wi-Fi to hold because otherwise, you know, I can't get India back. But no, it went down very well. Hoping to run it again as well. But Drama Festival, I think I'm probably finished with the NS, that play will continue, but I think I'm probably finished NSDF now, just because the three sort of people that I've had the most to do with that sort of ran the festival, so they were Ellie Fitzgerald, Lizzie Melbourne, and the director of the festival, James Phillips. James has just stepped down. There's going to be a new director next year. But just, they all three were, but he was amazing. Like, he was absolutely incredible. Like in terms of leadership, in terms of management, in terms of what he's trying to do for British theatre and what he's done with NSDF. Because the thing is, this is this huge festival and he's made it completely free. He's made it completely free, where up to a couple of years ago, it wasn't. You know, you had to pay sort of £120 to go for the week. Anybody can come in. Anybody can see these shows. You've got genuine industry, sort of top of their industry, you know, talent coming in, giving expertise, talking through shows. They're putting, like, even our show that we did, you know, it's incredibly experimental theatre. You know, not a lot of places would put that on. And it's credit to him. It's credit to his team and what they did over the last sort of 3 or 4 years that's put it in the position that it is today. And I hope that I know some of them are staying over into the next era, and I hope that it does continue in the way that it has done, because it's been very, very, very impressive and very well run. And that's down to that team, but James especially.
A while ago you mentioned something about a short film that you made. Was that something you did before the drama festival or after?
So that was tail end of 2021. We filmed it in October. So I'd done sort of the online festival by then. I'd done the year that it got cancelled, obviously. And I think I can't remember if I just started the producing course or if it was just after it, but it was around about that time. The short film that was made, there was four of us involved on it. Myself, my creative partner, Joe Fraser, who I met at university, he studied English and drama at Lincoln at the same time as me. He's also subsequently got into National Youth Theatre as well. I was actually at his, I was ambassadoring at his audition, actually. He's gone down the drama route. So he's gone to London. He went to drama school in London and he's auditioning everything. It's going well, as far as I know. And yeah, but like we're very much into the same sort of thing. We like the same thing. I met him in 2015 and we knew straight away, you know, we're into the same stuff. We write in the same way. You know, we're both sort of values in terms of what we want to do theatre wise are the same. And he's done a couple of short films. He's linked up with Adam Sandy, who was the cinematographer on the piece. They've done a few things together. And I've always been looking to sort of make something with Joe. We've never really had the chance. And it just happened that last July or so, in the lockdowns, we'd been kicking around loads of ideas. I mean, we've got so many ideas. It's just, you know, practically making them, and some are going to cost a lot of money, some won't, that type of thing. And we said, look, we want to make something. We don't know if we're going to be in lockdown. We don't know if we're not going to be in lockdown, that type of thing. So we said, let's write to what we know. So we knew that it would have to be outside for a start. It'd have to be outside. It'd have to be done in one day. It would have to be sort of minimal in terms of scenes, minimal crossover. So that in theory, if you were, you know, if we were allowed outside, but you know, you had to be distanced, that we could do the scenes without having too many people. And so when we sort of factored all that in, we had this basis of a story anyway. And once we factored that in, it more or less wrote itself. So yeah, we wrote that, and as it happened, we weren't in lockdown, so it was absolutely fine. But we kept it in the way that it was written, because actually that was the best thing for the piece. And Ant, we brought him on board. He's a photographer, I think, by trade, but he came in and directed, and it was just the four of us. And it was one day shoot, but we'd worked on it for a couple of months. You know, me and Joe wrote it in about a week. Adam and Ant sort of did tech writes of it as well, and they did sort of some storyboards and stuff. Shot it in one day and they put it together, and it looks great, and I'm really proud of it. And I think, and we're hoping to do some more, you know, we're hoping to do another one, sort of similar length, sort of about 5-10 minutes, that we can do roughly no money and on one day. And then, you know, we use them as sort of portfolio pieces and be like, okay, look, this is what we can do with no money. What can we do with some money? And do one of the bigger ideas, hopefully.
No, that's great. That's really interesting. I enjoyed watching the film, actually.
Oh, brilliant. Thank you.
Good, really good. An interesting storyline. That was really good. So let's get back to our joint love, which is football, of course.
Sure.
So I remember my first game, which was in August 1969. I'm that old. We were at the old showground at home to Chester.
Right.
That was my first game, and we lost 3-2. So it's been like that ever since, really.
Yeah.
What about you? When was your first game?
So my first, I got a win, actually. I got a win on my first game. It was Leyton Orient. It was 2005, I think. So it was it was the second half of the season. It was the 2004-05 season. It was the second half. I think it was March time. It was Leyton Orient. We won 1-0. Andy Keogh scored. I remember that quite clearly. And I seem to remember I went to another one pretty soon after. I think it was Cambridge. I'm not 100% sure. And I think it was 1-1. And I seem to just remember Andy Crosby doing a header at the far end. But that's sort of what I remember. I think it started for me. I think I've said this on Iron Brew podcast before, actually. I was aware of Scunthorpe. I'll go back a bit further. I was interested in football in a loose sense, like not majorly. I remember that's something going back to the primary school. I remember the 2002 World Cup. So I'd have been quite young at the time there, but I remember them wheeling in the TV on the trolley into the hall. and having some of the England games on there. So I remember that. My dad obviously supports Scunthorpe. He's done that for a long time. So he went most weeks. So without going, I was sort of aware of it. And I think the first time I sort of really remember it was when they got Chelsea in the cup. So that would have been just before I started watching. And without sort of even knowing much about it, I remember that being like a big deal, you know, him going to Chelsea and a lot of people going. So I sort of remember that. But it was as it has been for a lot of people, I think, it came through the groups that came into the schools, you know, I'm not sure, is it Study United? Is it something like that? Anyway, the sort of the coaches from the clubs come in and, you know, they do like, essentially they do the PE lessons. And then, you know, I think we all got tickets. Yeah, they gave us tickets to the Leyton Orient game. And we went to that. And yeah, my dad took me to that. And then we just sort of carried on going, really. I was like, I liked it. I carried on. And then not too long after, I got a season ticket. And yeah, I've been stuck with one of them ever since. Bought my new one yesterday.
Yeah, funny enough, I got mine yesterday.
There we go. Well, last day before the deadline, isn't it? We've got to get the check.
Yeah, exactly. So how did you meet up with the Iron Brew guys?
Right, yeah. So that's fast forwarding a little bit. As far as I'm aware, what happened is I was writing for a website called D3D4 Football. And the guy that he's called, I think he's called James Richards, the guy who runs that, he basically set up this website that focuses on all the sort of clubs in League One and League Two, or that's what it was at the time. And his aim was he wanted one person from every club, basically, to write sort of match reports and things like that. And I did Scunthorpe for about a season or two. And I think I found with doing that, I really liked doing that. And James was great. And, you know, actually I met a few people through that, which I really liked. I found doing that, like for me, like football writing's not where my interest is. You know, I didn't particularly, like, I enjoyed the experience, but I didn't particularly like coming home and writing, you know, 300 words about what had happened and everything. But anyway, the start of one of our many managerial sackings, Graham Alexander got sacked. And James asked me to write this piece. He said, oh, will you just write something about what it is? Because obviously, if you remember, I think we were fifth at the time, weren't we? And we were in the playoffs. And, you know, to the outside, it seemed quite a strange decision. And he said, oh, can you just explain what's been happening, really? So I wrote this piece, and I imagine it'll still be up there. And I just sort of explained what had been happening for the last sort of 2 years. And, you know, and I talked about Lucchetti leaving and how it changed after that and things like that. Anyway, this article went down really well. And so that's when Matt Blanchard, who obviously runs Iron Brew, he sent me a message and says, oh, I've seen the article. I like it. We're looking at slightly relaunching Iron Brew in a way, sort of change about what we do. And, you know, will you come and write a few pieces for us? So I was like, yeah, I'll come do that. So they set up this little group chat. So it was myself, Matt Blanchard, Matt Ellis, who's also on the podcast, and James Murray, who was, he was on the first series of the podcast, and he's doing a lot of football journalism. I think he's working at Real Madrid now as well. He's done really well for himself. But that was the sort of four. And I was under the impression that we were sort of going to write a load of articles and things like that. And the way that the podcast came about was, to my memory anyway, it was a bit of a joint thing between myself and Matt Blanchard, because I'd had this idea for a podcast for a couple of years by that point. Anyway, I'd been looking to do one on Scunthorpe United for quite a long time. The reason why I didn't do it was literally because I didn't have the audience. You know, I had the structure of the show, which is actually the structure we use. It's roughly sort of news, match review, topics, or a couple of questions. It's a basic structure, but I had the format of the show. I knew that would work. I just didn't have the audience. You know, I could have recorded that with, you know, a couple of my other mates and put it out. We'd maybe get, you know, a couple of listens, but nothing much. Whereas Iron Brew, they've been around since, you know, early 2000, haven't they? The forums, there's a lot of people on there. There's an audience there, you know. And I was going to suggest it. And I think Matt actually wrote in the chat around about the same day. He was like, oh, I'm thinking, what about a podcast? And I thought, well, actually, look, I've got this idea for one. You've got the audience. It makes sense. You know, so we did it. And, you know, the first couple were a bit off, but it was after that, we got into the rhythm quite quickly. It's, you know, we've carried on ever since. And we've tried out various different things. You know, like I say, we've done the In Conversation episodes and stuff like that. And it's we've been doing it sort of 4 years now, I think. So a long time, you know, and that was the thing, because I think a lot of podcasts start, but unless you have the audience for it, you know, a lot of them will just finish. You know, you've got to have that sort of audience there, and I knew that audience was there, and I knew we had the show that would work. So it was a nice partnership, and it's, you know, it carries on to this day.
Yeah, I mean, in a way, that's kind of how we've sort of got together, if you like. But I'm just wondering how you first came across Friends of Podcasting.
Yeah, so I think it was through Iron Brew. And we've had you on the podcast a few times, haven't we? I think before we even met, I think you'd been on the podcast a few times. Yeah. I don't know if we'd met before. I think one of the first times we met was at the... was it at our live event? I think probably,
yeah, the honest lawyer,
when you came in and did the sort of speech there. And I think that was the first time I sort of really looked into it and looked about what it was. And as I've mentioned on our podcast a few times, you know, I do remember when Scunthorpe did that, those videos about you sending all the kit out there and everything like that. You know, yeah, that's when it sort of seemed to come to the forefront, I think, for me. That's when I sort of really realized sort of what it was you were doing. And then obviously I've seen you a few times at when I've been away at Bradford and things like that. And, you know, and yeah, so that's sort of where I became aware of it through that. And like, I was always happy to sort of put you on the podcast. That was, you know, and like, because if we can support it, you know, we will do. Like I say, there's an audience there. And as I mentioned on one of our last ones, you know, I know Scunthorpe fans have donated to this a lot over the years. So if we can keep that going, yeah, then great. They,
So what made you decide to get involved?
Yeah, okay. Right. So would you believe me if I said my answer is Doctor Who? So
I don't believe almost anything sometimes.
There you go. Okay, so the one of the reasons is, like, as much as I love doing the Iron Brew podcast, and I really like doing the interviews, the in-conversations, and interviewing all those players and things like that, it's very much in the same wheelhouse, in the sense that it doesn't matter who we're interviewing, I can more or less construct the interview in the same way, because, you know, like I say, I started watching in 2005. We've had a lot of people on from before my time, you know, players that I've not seen play, that obviously Matt and the other Matt have, but I haven't. But I'm still the one sort of writing these documents and preparing these interviews, and all it is sort of, you just go through the books, and I know John Staff's books, I've got all of those, so you do that, you do a basic Google search, you can more or less put together an interview, you know, pretty much straight away. Yeah. and with footballers interviews, there's not a lot of sort of improv needed. They could say something and you can more or less, you know, go in with a follow-up question that's not too difficult, really. So you know, and I love doing that, and we will carry on doing that. But I wanted to sort of practice interviewing in a way a little bit, because next year is Doctor Who's 60th anniversary, and that's been a huge part of my life. That program, like, I've got a sort of encyclopedic knowledge of it. And one thing I'm just interested in doing it. I mean, I talked about you needing an audience before, but for this project, I'm not necessarily that bothered if people listen to it or not. I just sort of want to do it for myself. And it's myself and another sort of Doctor Who fan that I know. Basically, we want to create a podcast that's, because I know there's 1,001 Doctor Who podcasts, there's so many, but we want to basically do 60 interviews for the 60th anniversary of various different things. So that's not just like actors or writers. It's like designers and costume designers and, you know, producers, yeah, schedulers, anything. And I think as much as you've got that sort of knowledge, which I do have, those interviews are going to be very different, because there's going to be elements that you don't know. Like, so they could, if, for example, you're talking to a costume director, there's going to be elements that I don't know about that. And so when that happens, it's harder to do an improv story. So I thought, well, I need to practice interviewing really to do that. Like I say, I like what, you know, you've been doing. I do genuinely really admire it. And I thought that's a great, because I've seen your blogs and I see them every week. And I thought it'd be great to turn, you know, tell some of those stories, actually, to sort of put them out in another format. So I came to you with that sort of idea, just sort of interviewing you, really. That's what I sort of thought it would be. And then obviously we've had loads of people, Lorraine and Bothwell and, you know, Debbie and Aggie recently as well. Yeah. You know, and obviously more to come. And that's been great. Like just from my point of view, to like, because yeah, I prep them in the same way. You send me a bit of a bio of them and I look on the blog and get as much information as I can. So I have a rough structure in my mind and I have a few notes. But you know, they go off in you know, so many different directions, don't they? It's I mean, it's, they're so much fun. I really like doing them, and it's and I just, yeah, as much as I sort of, I'm relishing getting the chance to sort of practice that, I'm like, within about two podcasts, I'm now like fully in on this. I'm like committed to it. And I want to just chat to as many people as I can, because I find them fascinating. Like the interviews that we've done, they've been amazing. Like, I mean, like the, it's not out yet, but the one we've done last week with Aggie, the yeah. Reverend pastor, you know, she's talking about her foundation out there that she's created for, you know, not just the children, but people with disabilities, and getting that registered as a, you know, proper organization and everything. And it's, and that she's doing like religious services on WhatsApp to people in America. And it's like, where else am I going to get to learn stories like this? You know?
Yeah. That's a fair comment. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've got two or three others in mind, including, well, I'm really pleased about this. One of the guys I used to who taught with me when I was first there.
Oh, brilliant!
I literally only just heard from him in the last 2 weeks.
Right.
So I'm gonna get him on to do one. I think, because that'd be quite interesting, because he's completely different what he's been doing.
Right. Yeah. No. Yeah. No, that's it.
I might let you do this one blind, actually.
I mean, I'll improv it. It's fine. It'll be fine.
Exactly. Good practice. I'm sure we can do that.
That's practice for you, yeah. So, but it's like, that's it. Like, you know, we've chatted to, I think, four or five people now. And obviously we've got a lot more planned. But I'm just, like, as much as I've said before about audience and things like that, if you find something you like doing, and you know, it then doesn't matter. You know, I'm getting as much sort of fulfillment out of doing these interviews and talking to these brilliant people as I would, you know, as I do for any of our Iron Brew ones. You know, like, I mean, we've chatted to like Billy Sharp and, you know, Andy Keogh, but they were the sort of focal points of that team when I first started watching. You know, I think Scunthorpe United, I think that team, that was like my first squad, that 06 one, really. Mm-hmm. And but like, you know, so yeah, you're interviewing like Billy Sharp, Ian Barraclough, you know, all players like that. But I you know, I'm enjoying these ones as much as I enjoyed that, you know, and it's just how it is.
Yeah, no, I'm really pleased to hear that. Brilliant. Well, that was really, really interesting. Thanks very much for that, Brett.
No problem at all. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Brilliant. We'll do, like I say, we'll come back and do Chris's stories, because I've talked enough about myself now. We'll get back onto Picati pretty soon. All right. Cheers, everybody. Yeah. Thank you.